Welcome to the Success Leaves Clues podcast with Robin Bailey and Al McDonald. Have you ever wondered what makes someone successful? What are they doing that's different? How do they achieve greatness? We believe that success leaves clues. In this series, we are interviewing very successful people from different walks of life to hear their stories. We'd like to remind our listeners that the views expressed in this podcast are those of our guests and not necessarily those shared by our hosts.
Welcome back to the Success Leaves Clues podcast. Today's episode is sponsored by Life and Legacy Advisory Group. Are you a small business owner who thinks they pay too much in taxes? We can help. Give us a call or book a meeting by clicking the link in the show notes to book a free financial consultation so you can have peace of mind about your financial future. We're also brought to you by Aria Benefits. If you're a business leader challenged with talent attraction, employee engagement, or supporting mental health, we can help. Use your benefits package as the key to unlock your workforce. I'm your host, back at it again with my co-host, Al McDonald. Al, a little bit of a rainy day today. What do you got planned for the weekend?
That's going to be tough to say. I think it's time to get my winter tires off, which I've got scheduled for the weekend. So yes, it is that time. Looking forward to summer. Always a good sign that summer's on its way when we get to take off the winter tires.
Absolutely. I've got the same plan for Monday, first thing Monday morning. So I think you're right. That's a signal that spring is finally here. Well, our guest today is Jonathan Running, and just had such a fantastic introductory call with him. And I was really excited to have this conversation and continue it on. But he is the founder of Running Cables. His journey in the industry began at the age of 19. He was full of youthful ambition to develop and advance his career. And one morning, he asked the company he was working with if there's any opportunities to grow. And he was met with a dismissive remark that he will never forget. Well, just collect your paycheck and be happy. And that was a moment of clarity that propelled him to leave the confines of that employment and venture out on his own. He promised himself one day that he would build a business where each team member would be limited only by their own drive to improve and their compensation would be linked directly to the value they provide. Jonathan, first of all, welcome to the show. Glad to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
And I think I told you when we first spoke, I love that story because I'm a podcast fiend. You know, one of the things I've done recently, because I work out in the mornings now, just because the days are so busy, and I've anchored a couple of things that I really like to help me get down into my basement gym at 6 a.m. And that is, number one is coffee. I love coffee. So I get to have a coffee as soon as I wake up. And the other two is listening to a podcast. And one of my favorite podcasts right now, it's called the PBD Podcast. It's Patrick Bet-David.
Oh, yeah.
Immigrant from Iran, comes to America, starts working in insurance. But he started with this insurance company and he met much the same attitude that you did. And he had gone and said, hey, I have some great ideas. I'd love to get into leadership. And they basically said the same message for you, you know, kind of go away and get your paycheck. And he went out and started his own insurance firm and recently exited for $250 million. So I love the attitude that you're bringing and I love the story and I can't wait to dig in and hear a little bit more. But I thought we'd start with, and we haven't started with this one, Al, this early in the podcast, but I was hoping we could jump into what's your why? Because we often will talk about, and I'd love to hear more about your company, but that's where we usually start. And I thought we'd turn this on its tail a little bit and find out from the beginning, why do you do what you do?
Yeah, that's a great question. In that journey, I started when I was 19 years old, and to be honest, I didn't know a thing. And I can proudly say in this journey, it's continuously humbling and I still don't know what I'm doing, or at least I feel like that most days. But something about entrepreneurship, something about business, and I would imagine all entrepreneurs will agree, it is a constantly learning profession. It could be perhaps the hardest profession you could have because you have to be so talented in not just finance, not just your skill set or whatever you're bringing to the table, but also people and HR. You need like a psychology degree. And it is definitely one of the most challenging endeavors that I've taken on, but I kind of love the challenge. Personally, I wanted to know, what am I capable of? I've talked to my wife lots about, do I want to do this long term? As any entrepreneur would probably agree, we've had those talks at late at night where it's like, why am I doing this? And at the end of the day, I don't think I would be happy if I didn't see what I was capable of. And linking to what your perfect introduction, and I swear I should get my wording just right because you said that elevator speech perfectly, is I was met early on in my career of receiving those words, you know, collect your paycheck and be happy. And I wanted to do something different. So one of the largest whys behind what I'm doing is I not only want to set an example within my own industry, because my industry, and we can unpack this, is one that has a lot of room for development, growth, and improvement. And I wanted to be a leader in that way by showing other companies how it can be done, how the trade itself should be performed. But then on top of that, in the larger spectrum, is I want to learn the trade of business just as much as I want to learn the trade of our industry. And I want to hopefully set a great example to other business owners in the trades.
Jonathan, why is that important to you? A lot of people can say, hey, I want to start a business. I want to make money. I want to grow something. We were chatting with a guy this morning and he said he really thrived on putting his name to something and growing. But at the end of the day, like, why is that important? Especially the setting an example for others. I'd love to dig into that one a little bit.
I think probably rooted in most business owners and entrepreneurs is this, we want to fix things. We like problem solving. And when you're presented in your life with discontent, and it could be righteous discontent, and that something that you've seen, you're just not happy with the way it is. And trades in its entirety have a reputation of, you know, maximizing as much as you can, pay people as cheap as you can. It's not about quality. It's about getting it done as fast as you can. So that way, you know, you make the most money. I thought it can be done better. There's so much room for improvement. And I've been inspired by different companies over the years of compensation directly correlated to the value you provide. And it's very hard to do in the trades, because the trades is one of those examples where when you are really good at what you do, not only are you going to do a great job, you're going to do it faster. So technically you get paid less if you're an employee.
That's interesting.
Now that's a backwards system, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's kind of why I wanted to flip it on its head. And I'm trying things. And just like I do on a regular basis, we try things and we fail and we adapt and overcome. And occasionally some of those things stick and work. And we've done some unique things in our business just recently. We've rolled out a profit share to every person in the company. And it's unifying and it's exciting, because now nobody's going to be dragging their heels on jobs. Nobody's wanting to make sure they can get the most money out of the project by maximizing all the hours. No, they're going to do their best work. They're going to do it as efficient as they can, because they know it's going to directly correlate to how much they take home at the end of the day.
So we've already got a whole list of things that we could start to unpack, because in the first 5 minutes, you hit a number of things. But I'm curious, and I want you to maybe just talk a little bit about, because one of the first things you said is there's a lot of opportunities in your particular field to do things differently. And you've talked a little bit, profit sharing, but maybe go down that path a little bit and tell us why you think these opportunities are available, what you think you can bring to the table in your field.
So I'm in the, depending on who you speak to, the datacom industry, low voltage industry, network cabling industry. These terms are interchangeable for the most part. This industry is a very young industry. It's mostly rooted in the telecommunications industry. And a lot of times that's also one of the names and banners it's under. And it's so new because obviously it wasn't long ago. Everyone had a phone on their desk, but no computer. And then all of a sudden computers were on every desk. And now we all have laptops and Wi-Fi is the new name of the game. And the world's developed so fast. It's not like other trades where electrical, plumbing, HVAC, they've been around for a very long time and they've established themselves and they have certifications, Red Seal trades, things like that. Being such a young industry, I've been challenged, but also there's opportunity on the same side that there's not a lot of standardization on how the work should be done. So naturally, you'll see a very wide spectrum of very untrained professionals and trained professionals in the same industry. And a lot of times, most people don't know the difference from a consumer side. So there's a lot of education to be done in this industry. The more we can educate our customers and tell them, you know, you're not apples to apples here all the time. And this is what is important. This is where the industry is going with technology. And maybe we should consider these things when you make those purchases and making sure people are properly trained. Beyond just watching a quick YouTube video, but getting professional training and knowing what you're doing. You wouldn't want an electrician working on anything if they didn't get properly trained. And that's kind of what we want to bring to this industry as well.
So you talked about, you know, a lot of different standards in the industry. And Robin, I'm sure you can relate to this in what you do. I can relate to it as well. You know, the apples to apples comparison, it's not always there. How do you talk to a client about that? And I'm sure, again, our industry is full of compliance and standards, and we still see the differences. But if you're saying yours is a little bit less regulated, so how do you go about educating someone that, listen, there's someone out there that's doing this and we're going to do this for you. You don't want that.
You got it. I think one of the biggest things we speak to our customers about is peace of mind. If you get a piece of paper with a certified test result saying this cable, and we like to use metaphors like roadways. If IT and computers are the cars and all the communication back and forth, the ones and zeros is your cars, we're the road workers. We put the road in which it communicates on. So when it comes to having issues in a business, so if I'm speaking to a business owner, if you're having issues in your business with a computer not working right or communicating right or something not working, the one thing you don't want to have to try to troubleshoot is the road okay? If you know it's good and it's done right and it's proper, then that cuts out half of your troubleshooting. Now you're just talking with IT professionals to work on the other issue. That peace of mind is what I would imagine a trained company or a professional company would be able to offer over other companies. And one thing I've done is I always lead with a question. I say, hey, if you're considering other people, there's a lot of people out there. You can go to Kijiji, Craigslist, and find a lot of guys who will do it for probably half or even less sometimes. I said, if you want to know if they really know what they're doing, ask them what kind of tester they have. Are they testing their cables or are they just making sure it's connected on both ends? Because in the world of data transmission, a lot of the times it's not just about it connecting on both ends. That was telecom days. Now it's about speed. It's about packet loss. And testers can't test that if you're just connecting both ends. You need to make sure that there's no impedance and things in the technical side of that that are involved.
Jonathan, let's get back to your company and how you've built your company and the team that you built. Talk a little bit about the core values that you bring to the company.
When I started the business at 19 years old, I definitely didn't start as most entrepreneurs would have. They didn't have a mission statement and a vision statement and core values. And I didn't have the privilege of going back to school for my MBA when I decided to start the business. At the time, I had my firstborn son was born, and providing was the most important thing at that time. But I did pick up every business book I could. And there was a few good business books that have really marked my journey and my own education. And they've wiggled their way into my core values. And some of them have some wacky names. And it really came about after my team got really sick of hearing me talk about things like purple cow quality and giant pumpkin discipline. But when I keep reinforcing those stories behind those, they start using it in their own lingo and it started affecting the culture. And then that was like, you know what? These need to be our core values. I need to actually put them up on the wall because they're memorable when you think of some of those names. My core values, if I quickly list them off, is family first. And that's derived from seeing too many dads absent from their families because they've worked so much. And we wanted to keep that in mind because we want to make sure that proper balance is offered as much as we can. Second is extreme ownership. Right from the book, Extreme Ownership. I love that book. It's one of the best leadership books, in my opinion, and I give a copy to everyone in the company. And then Purple Cow Quality. And the story behind that is there's a book called The Purple Cow. And it's about if you're going down the street and you're looking out the window and you see a bunch of cows, okay, when you get to your destination, I'm not talking about the cows. You didn't see anything special. But if you drive by and you see a purple cow, you're going to be like, what in the world is that? And then when you arrive, the first thing you're going to say to someone is, did you see that purple cow? That is the best kind of marketing any company can have, is do something so unique and out of the box that they talk about it later on to other people. So we wanted to work that in, and we kept reinforcing that. And by the way we do things, let's do something so outrageously different that they will talk about it later. And that giant pumpkin discipline was from another book called The Pumpkin Plan. And that was another huge staple one where it was a big learning process where when anyone's good at anything, the first thing that's going to happen is your customer's going to want you to do everything else too. You're going to be overwhelmed with opportunities. Oh, do you do this as well? Oh, can you do that as well? Can you do this as well? Before you know it, you're fixing their chimney and you're a plumber. And it's like you find yourself getting involved with everything. But the whole point of the pumpkin is the story of how giant pumpkins are grown. They plant a bunch of really good seeds. And within the first week or two, they see which one's doing the best. They pull the rest out and they just water the one pumpkin. And that's what we've done is we actually expanded. We offered a whole bunch of different services in the cabling industry, like cameras and alarm and access control and things like that. And we said, you know what? No, we literally took the vinyl off the trucks and took them off and went back to our one core root of what we can say we can do best in the industry, what we can do best in the world. Instead of being good at everything, we want to be great at this. And that's where we put that in there so we can always be accountable to ourselves, that we don't keep grabbing out opportunities because it's easy. And then Kaizen mindset, I don't think I've mentioned that one. Kaizen mindset is, for those who know that expression, it's about the mindset of constantly improving. And there was an expression I heard once is, we believe in the compounding effect of micro improvements. If we are constantly making micro improvements everywhere we can, and we all carry that spirit of wanting to try to find improvements in everything we do, the compounding effect of that is enormous over time. That's something that is a prerequisite for anyone on our team, is you have to have the spirit of someone who loves to learn and keep trying to be better.
Well, you just left a ton of clues for people to, and I know Robin wants to jump in there. So I'm going to say one thing with your very first value that you talked about, and I noticed on your LinkedIn profile, I won't give it away. I don't know if you want to share what it says, because it doesn't say entrepreneur, it doesn't say founder, it doesn't say CEO, it doesn't say principal. Do you want to share what it does say?
Does it say family man?
It does.
It does. Yeah. Yeah, it does.
I'm glad I got that right. I should know, right?
We could have edited that and come back to it. No problem.
Yeah, I got three beautiful kids, and having kids is an amazing learning lesson in yourself, as well as the most rewarding thing. And they fuel me every day. They encourage me and they give me purpose to get up in the morning and try to be the best version of myself and improve.
Well, why don't we give them a shout out? What's their names? Because I'm sure once this episode comes out, your family will listen. At least I hope they would.
That's a great idea. So my wife and I, Krista, have our firstborn was a son, and his name is Michael. He is now 6 years old. And then we had twin girls after that.
Oh, wow.
And they are 4 years old, and they're these beautiful girls, and they're all full of energy and life. And yeah, I'm blessed to have such healthy, happy, active kids.
That's amazing.
So I can relate a little bit because we have one and then we had twins. So for a while, our motto was 3 under 3 because we had 3 kids all under age 3.
You did that too. 3 and under. You did under 3.
Yeah. I think it was like 2 years and 9 months, right?
God bless your sanity.
Busy times.
Yeah.
And Jonathan, you're going to have to meet our other business partner, Joe. I don't know if you've met him yet, but his own personal value is family first. You would get along with him very well.
Oh, wonderful.
I loved what you said, though, about the extreme ownership, and you actually gave a copy to all of your employees. That's something that we've started at the office, a bit of a library. And it's kind of a funny story. Al never used to read. I used to say, hey, I read this great book. You should read it. And Al would always come back to me. I don't read. Well, now it's been flipped at some point, and now it's a matter of trying to keep up with Al. So we've got this great resource in the office. And actually, when I go around to people's desks once in a while, I will see a book, you know, and it's marked, and I know, oh, they're reading it. That's amazing, right? So, but I did want to give you a tip because you might enjoy it. This year in January, although we use a CRM for all our client management stuff, I do have a planner that I use more for. I do use it for business a little bit, but it's more personal. And it's called the Clever Fox Planner. If they're listening, feel free to sponsor the show. We'd love to talk to you. But we've got one for whoever wanted one in the office. And weekly, I tell Al, I come in, one of my favorite things, it's got a vision board in there. It's got monthly planners, quarterly planners. But the thing that I like weekly is the section at the bottom, and it's this week's wins. And since I've had it, I've had at least 7 to 8 wins a week, which is, you know, very, very important. Lessons learned, because I like that one too, because every week, as you were chatting about, always continuing to improve. And then how I'll improve next week.
I love that.
And I've seen consistent growth just even in my own life by using the planner. And I just thought I would share that with you. But I love the core values. We'll chat more about that. And we'll share ours with you after as well. In growing your business, we were chatting about this morning with another guest, and I related the story of when we were very early on and we were paying our team and there wasn't necessarily any money left over. And there's a lot of moments in that entrepreneur journey where it's either really frustrating or you hit something that you say, I have no idea how to get around this. And luckily, I've always been surrounded with 2 other business partners where we can talk these things out and we figure it out. But from your perspective in your own journey since you were 19, what's the biggest obstacle you faced in building the business?
That is a wonderful question. Biggest obstacle has definitely been that feeling of burning your tires, spinning your tires, not feeling like you're making any traction. And very much so along the lines of a mentor or mentorship to kind of help guide. You would think that there was this, you know, this is the roadmap. This is how you do it. This is the org chart you should operate with. There's an operating system or a plan. You can just be like, I'm just going to take a page right out of that handbook and I'm just going to follow this plan. I have been shocked by how much that isn't true and it doesn't exist. And even though we're not reinventing the wheel, it definitely feels like every day you're a trailblazer. You're in the weeds trying to reinvent the wheel all the time. And you would think there should be an easier way, but having the privilege of getting some coaching from an organization that's full of trades and electricians and things like that, I find it's common across the board. Everyone feels like they're reinventing the wheel, and everyone had a different structure, model, operating system in every business, and they're all the same industry. So it told me that one, I wasn't losing my mind, and my emotions of feeling like I'm going crazy is sound, that it is sometimes just staying steady with course, embrace the trailblazing, be okay with failure. And then I was blessed after some number of years of that feeling of constantly just spinning tires. I saw some traction. And slowly that flywheel started and that momentum started. And of course, it's littered with potholes still, but at least we're moving. I feel like we're growing and it's there. But that was definitely the biggest hurdle for me, was getting that traction.
And I can relate to that, because for a long time, I had this vision of where I thought we could go. And of course, you always think it's going to happen faster than it really does in reality.
Grand optimist over here.
Yeah. And I was driving home this week after our Tuesday meeting, because we're all over the place, but Tuesdays is the day we come together. We're usually in here about 3 days a week, but people are off doing appointments. So, but Tuesday, everyone's here. And I was looking around the room, and I left the office that day and I was thinking, this has all come together. Because you're right. In those early years, you're just spinning your wheels, not really getting anywhere. And I looked at our own company and I thought, wow, we're at that point that I dreamed about so many years ago, and we're finally here. And now you can see the next level, right, that you're going to get to. So
it's like the fog lifts every time you get to that next part. You can see just a little bit further.
Yeah. And you know what's happening now? And I'd love to hear if it's happening on your end as well. So when we first started the company, Al was responsible for this side of the business, me over here, and then Joe over here. And we were the ones who had to decide, here's how we're going to get clients, here's how we're going to service clients, and here's best practices, here's what's going to happen. And now I find younger employees are coming in and they're bringing their own ideas and new ideas that I'd never thought of about how to operate the business, and they're making it even better. I don't know if you're finding that on your side as well.
Absolutely. One of the things we just recently implemented is establishing that better middle management layer, getting the right leaders, or as Jim Collins would put it, get the right people on the bus and then into the right seats.
Right seats, yeah.
And that makes a world of a difference, because we got to the stage where as much as my ego would slip in there and I would think I could make all the best decisions for every circumstance, the more you can delegate, the more you can decentralize command, the better those decision-making can have. And almost taking away the control of, this is how I want you to do it. You have that operating, this is where I need you to go. And then they can help shape how to get there. And it's been a powerful beginning steps of those changes, because I'm learning those exact lessons.
Yeah, for sure. Very cool.
Okay, based on what you just said there, I got to ask a question. Most people who have been in business, and I'm going to say for as short a period as your time, I'm aging myself, but they wouldn't think like that. Like, they'd want to be in control. At least I think that that would be the case. Like, you've just brought some very interesting perspectives that I guess I'd have to say you're ahead of your time. You're ahead of your age.
Yeah.
Why do you think that would be?
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. Encouraging. I don't know. I wish I had a sound answer. I've had the privilege of just kind of watching and learning as much as I can from other people. And a lot of those business books that I've read absolutely impact me. Talk about extreme ownership. Extreme ownership is all about, well, I think one of their final principles is about decentralized command. And some of those values, thankfully, through a lot of those readings, have reinforced it enough that at least I can catch myself earlier, because I think it's human nature. I think it's human nature that we want to stay in control. The hardest thing is letting go. And I've also learned that there's a downside of letting go too fast. As in the E-Myth, I think he actually coins it really well, is there's a difference between abdicating and delegating. And I've made the mistake of both. abdicating work without any guidelines. It's a wild west on how things get done. And all of a sudden you realize it's not getting done the way you want to. And all of a sudden you're putting out a million fires and you're like, okay, let's reel this back in. And I've made that mistake. And I've also made the mistake of trying to confine people so much to do it this way that it became more important to me to control how they did it than it was about them getting to those results. And I think there's this marrying factor, this multiple direction answer to this, because it's also about those right people and getting better at finding good leaders, people who are going to be able to get to the end result and be wise in decision making on how to get there. And it can easily be a mistake of putting the wrong people in the wrong seats. So there's a few factors there, but I appreciate that. Thank you. That's encouraging. I think like the podcast is properly named Success Leaves Clues, and I'll take that as a little clue that I'm a little bit closer to where I'm wanting to go.
You're on the right track. Can I ask you, and this does not have to pertain to your business, and there's no parameters. You answer however you want it. If it's business, that's great. If it's personal or a blend of the two, what does success look like to you?
Ooh, hard-hitting questions. I love it. Success for me is, I'll speak off the top of my head as candidly as I can. Growing up, I was an adrenaline junkie, and deep down, I still am. I loved snowboarding and surfing and all the extreme sports. I was all about that. And I partly still am. I just have a lot less time to do so. And my vision in my life was to, if I could wake up every day doing what I love, then that's success. And I think there's some truth to that. But I've also had to learn through the school of hard knocks in life is sometimes we always can't get, you know, a job that we say, we wake up and say, I get to do snowboarding every day of my life. It's like, we don't get that option always in life. But there's still something very fulfilling about the role that you are doing. And at the very least, and it can be fulfilling enough just to be providing for your family. Maybe not something that you are crazy passionate about, but you are at least passionate about working hard, working on something that is fulfilling and providing for yourself or someone else. Success for me would be probably more freedom. And this is more of a very personal thing, is more freedom to do what I want. And I'll circle it back to my childhood. I had this aspiration to do all these things. I wanted to start a million different businesses. I probably have file folders full of business plans of things I was going to start. And I had all the ambition to start it, but I didn't have the skill sets to actually execute on that. That's the challenge of life. I think the more I'm learning about business, the more I can get better at being the leader I need to be with running cables and things like that. It would be to whether it's I start more businesses and have the freedom and the confidence to be successful in anything I did, or maybe it's to teach other people and to help teach them those skill sets and help them through what maybe took me 10 years of hard learning to be a mentor to someone else to get there into. That would be a successful thing for me.
Well, that is a very good answer. And I love the idea of waking up in the morning and you said, I get to. And that's something Al and I have talked about at length. You know, we want people who are here that think they get to work at this great company. And if that's not the way you feel, then, you know, this isn't the right spot for you. And we wish you well, because that's how I feel. I was out to lunch yesterday with people I met through the podcast and became friends with them. And I did a LinkedIn post and I said, who would have thought that I'd created this career where I get to meet these amazing people? I made connections for them yesterday, law of reciprocity. They made some connections for me. And I thought, I actually get to do this pretty much on the regular. I mean, it's amazing. So I love that answer. But we've arrived at that part in the podcast that has become my favorite part of the podcast for a long time. And it's Al's signature question. So if you're okay with it, I'd love to hear what you have to say. Al, what do you think?
Yeah. And Jonathan, I think your fingerprints are all over this question already based on everything that you've talked about with, you know, your life and your kids and your family and your business and all that. But we'll go ahead and maybe you'll come up with something different, or maybe you'll just build on something you've already said. A society grows great when old persons plant trees in whose shade they will never sit. So can you talk about any of those proverbial trees that you might be planting?
I would love to say that I'm planting those seeds. I believe it would be in kind of where we started with the podcast, where I said one of my goals and dreams is to not only set an example in this industry, but also set an example in business. And I hope my journey and my career, I get better at that and can set better example to leave this industry in a better place than I found it by doing business in a way that other businesses either recognize and start changing how they set up employment contracts and work with their teams and what type of leadership, or maybe they're forced to because it's actually changing the nature of the business so much that they can't compete unless they adapt to a better way. I know I would be leaving a bigger impact than just running cables in our immediate team, that there is a domino effect happening in this industry and hopefully in business.
Jonathan, this has been a pleasure today, I got to say, to have this conversation. And I don't know if I shared the story. Well, you know how we met down at the Board of Trade dinner.
That's right.
Robin will relate to this. I am not the guy who loves to go out and network with people, especially, you know, in an environment like that where there were like 1,000 people in the room. That is not my thing.
I was like, you're doing what?
I got an invitation from the person who invited both of us. And I thought, well, you know what? If I'm going to jump in, why not? Well, I'm glad I did because I got to meet you.
Yes.
Likewise. This has been an honor to be on this show. I love your podcast. I love the leadership nuggets that are always being put out there. And you guys are doing a fantastic job.
Well, thank you.
Appreciate that. Well, thank you for joining us today and sharing your story. What's the best way for people to reach out to you if they have questions about yourself or what you're doing at your company?
Fastest way would probably be LinkedIn, or you can check us out at our website at runningcables.com and you can ask for me specifically. Otherwise, LinkedIn personally.
All right, that's great. Well, that does it for today's episode. We really enjoyed this conversation. We hope you did too. If you have any questions for Al or myself, please feel free to give us a call or rejoining the conversation on LinkedIn. And remember, success leaves clues, my friends.